Hello, aficionados of the round ball. This is Glamour Profession, the basketball podcast here at HalPhillips.net. I'm your host, Hal Phillips. Today, we're joined by James W. Jackson Jr. to discuss the NBA playoffs, what else, which conclude in the coming days with a reprise of the 2006 finals, Dallas v. Miami. Dallas was the team everyone picked to lose its first round series this year against Portland. And Miami is the team everyone, well, everyone just loathes. But they've made about the shortest work possible of two excellent teams in Boston and Chicago. The problem comes when you try to pick against a team like Miami that is so unlovable. Are you being objective? Jammin' and I get to the heart of this matter right now. I don't think anyone likes the Heat. But I don't think there's any question that they were the best team in the East when push came to shove.
They had the two best players in the East. Or two of the top five in basketball. And that seemed to be the difference. The Bulls had no one else who could score. I mean, no one could make a shot. I mean, I forgot if he got scored like 14-2, 16-2 down the stretch. I think we've talked about this before. It seems like, I mean, the Celtics are guilty of this. Everyone abandons their offense and goes one-on-one.
This is the way the NBA is going. We've talked about this. We complained about it, you know, all year with the Celtics. It didn't so much happen this year as in the last couple of years with Pierce. When they need a bucket, they give it to him. He freaking works the clock down, and they spread the floor, and he goes one-on-one at the top of the key. Usually ends up taking a fall-away three-pointer or some kind of jumper, and it's just not a good way to get a good shot. And it doesn't mean that you can't run a play for your best guy where he has the ball or he's going to get the ball. But look at all the best teams in the league now do the same thing. When the Heat want a shot, Dwayne or LeBron go one-on-one, and they just run the clock down and just do that. Chicago did the same thing, and LeBron covered D-Rose. You know, what does Nowitzki do? I mean, the Mavs do the same freaking thing. They give it to him, and he goes one-on-one and gets the shot. And these aren't even guys who go one-on-one on the block. They're doing it outside. And so even if they get the shot they want, it's a jumper. It's not even that high a percentage of shots. I don't get it. Is it a commentary on coaches not really having enough control over their own team to tell them to run a play? It's just a given that the star is going to take it and they don't have any control? I would go along with that in certain cases, but not in the Celtics case, because I think Doc Rivers took that dynamic back this year. And except for that last play against Miami in game four, when they did the same exact thing, they actually did run plays and pretty good plays. But, you know, you watch Oklahoma City, it's the same thing. It's Westbrook or Durant getting the ball, you know, distance from hoop and making it happen. I mean, it's a star system run amok.
I think if you're a defender, you probably fall asleep saying, all right, here we go again. Yeah. Pierce on a clear out. Here we go again. LeBron. Here we go again. Durant. And you just kind of fall asleep. How about hitting a back pick or something like that, and you get a layup out of it?
Well, just a pick and roll. I mean, you know,
something.
You know, where you have an option, where if they do run a double at you, as the Mavericks did to Durant at the end of that series, you know, ad nauseum. At least your best guy is making the decisions. The play is still running through him. And he has to make a judgment as to whether or not he has, you know, a better chance to get his own shot or drop it down because a double is coming. It just seems it's even more prevalent. It used to be just the Celtics' problem where this was the case at the end of the game. But it seems to be becoming more and more of a dominant sort of play. Why, if that's so effective, why not?
Why do you run that every time?
Well, I guess the guy would be tired as hell if you went to him every time. You have to run plays for the rest of the team in order to get those guys' shots, and this is the one guy you don't have to run a play for? Do they really think that that's their best shot, their best chance of scoring? I think of the Tony Kukoc and Scottie Pippen deal in, what, 95, when MJ retired, went and played baseball because he was, you know, gambling. And
he wasn't. He just wanted to play baseball. What are you talking about?
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. But when when at the end of the game, it was just a given that they went to, that they were going to go to Scottie Pippen because, you know, he was their best player. A and B, he was the new Lee Doth, and it was just a given that he was going to get the ball at the end of the game in that situation. And Phil Jackson smartly said, well, they're going to be looking for you. Let's get it to Tony Kukoc. And, of course, Pippen, you know, freaked out. But, I mean, so this isn't a new dynamic, but it seems like it probably travels in waves of preponderance, and we're in one of those high periods where it's just dominant.
Well, the reason, you know, I've heard the analysts talk, the reason they don't like to set a pick and roll is a lot of times they'll, Fitz-Rose, you know, the Heat would double him. So they don't want to give you a chance to double Rose, because they were doing that a lot. It was, you know, it was pretty effective.
Well, fine, go ahead and double him. And then that means that the guy that they leave is open.
And the other thing that's wrong with that is at least at the end of the game, you know, you don't have much time, and sometimes you don't have enough time in the shot clock or the game clock to make the proper passes and make the proper passes to beat the rotations, to beat the double team.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not enough time. It's almost like you need to start your offense with about 8 or 9 seconds left. If you start it with 3 or 4, it's not enough time. The double team seems to work every time. But, yeah, I still can't believe Chicago lost that game. But they didn't make any shots, and as much as I hate LeBron, he made all the big shots. Moving on to the finals, Vegas really likes the Heat.
How could you pick against the Heat, really, if you're looking at it objectively? But Dallas strikes me as a team that's very difficult to play against, and they have the guys that are going to make it very tough. As you can.
All right. Again, the Celtics series and the Bulls series, by and large, were close games. And the Celtics and the Bulls did not execute down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the offense. They didn't have the score. I think Dirk is the score. If it's close down the stretch, I'm not betting against Dirk. He looks like a man on a mission. And I don't think they have anyone to guard him. They claim Haslam's beat him up in the past, but you know, I can't buy that. Haslam's 6'8".
So Haslam guarded him well in 2006. I think that's what
that's what they claim. This will all come down to how the series is refereed. It really will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark Cuban is owed some free throws from 5 years ago. But I want to transition to, you know, talking about LeBron guarding Dirk. LeBron has not been in foul trouble in the playoffs.
No.
And it's almost like this guy's untouchable. And it's laughable that a 6'8", 260, 70-pound guy who plays aggressive, runs down people on fast breaks, is untouchable. He's physical. He does foul people. It's amazing that people, he doesn't get more charges. I mean, people have got to, all you got to do is take a couple of flops on this guy. I mean, he was taking flops against the Bulls.
Yeah, I agree with you what you're saying generally, but the one moment when that dynamic was put to the test was just before the end of regulation in Game 5 against the Bulls, and Ronnie Brewer actually drew a charge off of him. I couldn't believe it.
It was at the push off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe he got that call.
Well, my only guess is that we weren't at the game, but Thibodeau might have been screaming for that the whole game, and they owed him one. I think there was a very questionable call. I think that made up for the one that when LeBron fell down and winked to the camera afterwards. I think that was a makeup call, even though it was clearly a charge. That's what LeBron does. And let's face it, that's what you have to do. If LeBron's driving, you know, he's going to make the shot anyway. You know, it's not like you're going to block him. Fall down. You know, the worst thing that can happen is they don't call anything. But I think you got to fall down more. And if you fall down the first time, they don't get it, so what? Do it again.
Yeah, there are two things that separate Chicago and, for that matter, Boston and the way the Mavericks are playing right now. Three things. One is they have several guys who guard LeBron and D-Wade in a way that Chicago and Boston could not. Marion is a great matchup for LeBron. Jason Kidd is a great matchup for D-Wade and LeBron, for that matter, as much as you can guard anybody like that and be so small.
Right.
Deshaun Stevenson can guard both of those guys. So they've got some fouls to waste.
Right, and Deshaun Stevens is going to be physical.
Yes,
I mean,
he is.
Just read today, I didn't know what he's hurt, but D-Wade's banged up.
Yeah, he's not himself. He's been hanging back. He's played well at the end of the game.
Listen, you got to hit these guys. The Bulls started to do that in Game 5, but you have to hit them from the get-go.
So that's one thing. I think that they have guys who can guard, you know, Wade and LeBron in a way that the Bulls and the Celtics couldn't. Second, one of the really amazing things to me about the Heat in the last two rounds of the playoffs was that they've really owned the rim. I mean, Joel Anthony is not a good player at all, but he's had, like, you know, some 5 and 6 block games. He's rebounded beautifully. Bosch and LeBron have defended the rim. Both the teams that played against them, the Bulls and the Celtics, were bigger and should have been able to get to the rim in a more arrogant way. But, you know, these guys, every time they go up to, you know, try to dunk it, they get blocked or fouled and not get the call. The Mavericks are plenty big. They've got to get to the rim. Chandler and Haywood and Marion and Dirk have got to go to the rim and dunk it and get fouls. And they should be able to do it. And I don't really understand very well why the Bulls and the Celtics look so incredibly timid when it came to the rim. And did you notice that?
I did, and I've been trying to analyze what's gone right and what's gone wrong. It's funny. If you're playing those guys and you've got a dunk or whatever you've got, you're better off not doing a two-handed dunk. You're better off using the hand that is furthest away from the guys. You know what I'm saying? If you're coming in on the right,
yeah,
and you're going to do a two-handed dunk, use your left hand to ward them off and just throw it down with your right.
Anthony has been told, we want you to block anything you can get your freaking hands on.
Well, and you know the other thing why Anthony's been so effective is both the Celtics and the Bulls forgot this thing in basketball. It's called an up fake.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I like about Dallas, and I don't think this is wishful thinking, but they got a much better perimeter game than the Heat did. Jason Terry, Dirk, Peja Stojakovic could be a huge guy in the series.
Well, he's all or nothing. And I'll tell you this, you know, probably the stat to look other than free throws is if Dallas can shoot meaningful threes, I don't know how we defend that, but if they can shoot 40% or better from three-point land, they will win.
I think that's true, but, you know, the other thing that's working for them is, you know, who's the Celtics' best three-point shooter? Well, it's Ray Allen. Who's the other one? It's Pierce. Well, who guards those guys when they play the Heat? LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron.
And D-Wade.
Right.
Now, who are the best three-point shooters that play for the Bulls? I mean, Derrick Rose.
They don't have any.
And they don't have anybody else.
They have Kyle Korver, and that's all he can do.
Exactly.
He can't dribble drive.
They could not get, they could not create unmolested threes.
That's right.
Now, look at Dallas.
Dallas presents a huge matchup problem.
Exactly, and it's because of this. It's not a matchup problem all over the court. It's a matchup problem out on the perimeter where Dirk is not going to be guarded by either one of those guys, and he's going to be on the perimeter. He can shoot threes, but someone like Page is going to have, you know, fucking Mike Miller or Mike Bibby or maybe Haslem out there trying to guard him or chasing him around. He's going to get a lot of open shots, I'm telling you right now. The only thing that really hurts Dallas or potentially hurts Dallas against the Heat, against whom I think they match up great, is they just don't have a whole lot of scoring options. If Dirk has a bad game, they can't win. And if Dirk has a middling game and they don't get something decent out of Terry or Peja or Marion, I don't think they win. They just don't have enough scorers.
We'll see if Dallas' defense is any good. I've heard people say the West plays no defense and Dallas' defense isn't that good. Dallas plays a lot of zone. But, you know, I would think zone would be pretty effective against Miami because they're not a good perimeter shooting team.
No, and that's, I think, that Mike Miller and Peja Stojakovic are key guys in the series. If Miller plays like he did in Game 5.
Do you remember the Celtics-Heat series?
Yes.
Remember Game 1?
Yes.
I can't even think of his name anymore. He had 5 threes.
Oh, James Jones.
I'm joking. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know who he is, but that's how bad the guy is. Yeah. He hits first 5 or 5 for 6 in the first half. You know, they won the game. I haven't heard his name mentioned since game 1.
No.
That's like 3 weeks ago.
It's true.
Think about it. So that's how bad. Listen, I hate the Heat and I am biased, but that's how bad this Miami team is. It's a big deal when Bibby was the big guy off the bench in the Bull series, he hit 2 threes. Boom. I mean, this is how bad their bench is. Miller had one pretty good game. And I've said all along, that guy scares me. Thank God he's been hurt. If he could play half of his old ability, that would have been their fourth option, and there would be if Miller was on and bombing away, there'd be really no beating them. But they're not.
Well,
their bench is awful.
It is awful, but Mike Miller is starting to play well, and Haslam is back. And you know who they didn't play in either of the last two series is Ogoskis. He's not a bad player.
He doesn't fit into their plans.
Well, I don't think that's true. I just don't think they like the matchups.
Maybe they like it with Chandler in the game.
Well, I think that they're going to, you know, Joel Anthony and Chandler are very similar. I mean, they go for the blocks, they reboard and block it, and don't do much else. I'm just really impressed at the way that Anthony has just gone. He's just gone for it. He's trying to block everything.
Right, like I told you, not only up fake, but the other thing is, as you know, he's a weak side shot blocker.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off getting his man, getting Chandler in the post, and just going at him. If you body him, first of all, you'll probably get a foul call. But if you allow him, if you do not engage contact with him, he will block your shot. But if you get him in, he's nowhere near as effective when you bump him.
All right, Jim. The series starts, Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday, and then the Bruins are Wednesday.
Nice. Who do you like, Dallas or Miami? Give me a prediction.
Well, I'll know right away in that first game if they can play any defense. But I like Dallas.
Win what, 6, 7?
Dallas in, I'll go Dallas in 6.
I want to believe you.
Well, like I said, the reason I like Dallas is the Heat have been very beatable against the Bulls and the Celtics. They both had them on the ropes. They couldn't score in the last 2 to 6 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dirk is on a mission, and he will score in those. He will score. Maybe not every game, but I like him. You know, 5 of those games come down to that. I like my chances with Dirk because he will score. They have no one to guard him.
No, and I don't think anyone does. And I think that
cannot come out in the perimeter and guard that guy.
No. If Peja scores 17 or more, and or Jason Terry scores 20 or more, the Mavericks win the game.
Oh, sure.
So one of those two guys has to bomb it. You know, not both of them. I think just one of them.
And I don't even think for Peja, he doesn't even need 17, 10.
You think that's the over-under for him is 10?
Well, it could be. That's 3 triples and a free throw or something. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a – you think it's going to be high scoring?
I don't. Look at the Oklahoma series. I mean, those are 2 high-scoring teams. Those were not high-scoring games.
And that's why, I mean, is it going to be 85, 90 points a game? That's why 10 or 11 for Peja, that might be enough.
Okay, I'll downgrade it to 14.
All right.
But I'll stick with 20 for Terry because they need him to score.
They usually do.
Yeah. And I've decided I am going to go with the Heat in 7 now that I have confirmed through you that they have the home court. That's a tough that's a tough ask for Dallas.
I'm still not a believer. I wish they had blown through the Celtics and blown through the Bulls. Then I could tell you the Heat are going to win. But I haven't seen it. I have not seen a dominant performance by that team. Have you?
No, the dominant performances have been against them. Game 1 against Chicago, game 3 against the Celtics. All the other games have been very close, and they've won them all.
And all things being considered, the reason that they have won is down the stretch, LeBron has got it done. D-Wade really didn't. LeBron did. And you know, LeBron's, you know, he's maybe he's on a mission, but he's still not a great shooter. He's due to start clanking some. I like Dirk's chances. Like I said, if the Heat had blown everybody out, I'd be like, all right, you know, stop hating the Heat. They're the best team. But they're not clearly the best. They clearly have the 2 best players in the NBA or the top 2 of 5. But I'm not sure if they're the best team. And we'll see. I think Dallas is a better team than they are.
Jim, maybe we'll check in after game 3 when each team has had a chance to play at home. And hopefully it'll be 2-1 at that point, one way or the other. And game 4 will mean all.
Yep, or the Heat could be up 3-0, and I look like an idiot.
That's entirely possible, as we know. All right, Jamie, thanks for the knowledge.
All right, good day.